All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, and I will remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. He's a longtime attorney and partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee up in Huntsville. Stan McDonald, I'll tell you more about him here momentarily. So let me just say, I really do believe that we are in a fight right now. It's a fight worth having, too, by the way. It's a fight that will determine what kind of America we actually want. I mean, do we want an America that will just go along to get along, standing for everything and therefore standing for nothing? Because that's the hinge point that we're standing at. We are at an inflection, a turning, a fork in the proverbial road. I mean, what kind of America do we want? Andrew Jackson, who rallied up a ragtag group of militia, buccaneers, and townsfolk to defend New Orleans near the end of the War of 1812, he soundly defeated a far superior British force. He is quoted as having said this. It's a very cool quote. He said, "Who are we? And for what are we going to fight? Are we the titled slaves of George III, the military conscripts of Napoleon the Great, or the frozen peasants of the Russian Tsar? No." He said, "We are the freeborn sons of America, the citizens of the only republic now existing in the world, and the only people on earth who possess rights, liberty, and property which they dare call their own." Look, his words and his actions in that campaign fired up a nation and propelled him to the presidency. So sometimes it's a common man who rises up. Other times it's a leader who speaks over the fears of his people to provide reassurance and inspire confidence. But that kind of leadership, that kind of speaking to the moment, it can be contagious. Isn't it amazing how one person can say or do just the right thing and turn a tide of depression into an inspiring moment, even an inspiring movement? Well, I heard a story yesterday that inspired me in that vein. A story I'd never heard before. A story that made my 60-year-old self stand up a little straighter. It made my crickety neck and old muscles feel like they could still do a little bit more than I already push them to do. Like maybe my calloused former paratrooper hands could actually do more stuff. Because the story is about an old soldier who saw a fight worth having, despite his age. So I saw a meme one time, and it said, "Fear the old man who survives in a young man's world." Well, that could never be more true than the story of a guy named Samuel Whittemore. There's a marker to Samuel Whittemore in Arlington, Massachusetts. It doesn't give you the whole story, but it does tell you something about the man who became known as the oldest colonial fighter in the American Revolutionary War. You see, Whittemore was born in 1696. And if you're quick with math, you're already figuring out that he was an old guy by the time the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. He was also a fighter. Over the years, Samuel Whittemore had fought in various small conflicts and the French and Indian War, but he was a colonial. He was not a loyalist to the crown. And on April 19th of 1775, at 78 years old, Whittemore was out working in his fields. By the way, let that sink in. At 78 years old, he was out working in his fields. But Whittemore, while he was out in the field, saw British forces returning to Boston from the battles of Lexington and Concord. Whittemore, the old guy, he loaded his musket and two black powder dueling pistols. He took up a position behind a stone wall. An account of the day said that Whittemore yelled to other colonials that, "If I can only be the instrument of killing one of my country's foes, I shall die in peace." He confronted the British soldiers. He fired his first shot and he killed one British soldier. He then drew his two pistols and he killed two more. But he wasn't done. He was danger close and he had no time to reload. So Samuel Whittemore, at 78 years old, drew his sword and attacked the British troops. He was shot in the face, he was bayoneted several times, and he was left for dead. Colonial forces later found him still conscious and bloodied, trying to load his own musket to go back for more. His clothes were full of bullet holes and stab wounds. And the wounds were so severe, Whittemore was not expected to survive. But that old guy Samuel Whittemore was as hard as woodpecker lips, man. At a time and a place when the average life expectancy for men in the American colonies was just 38 years, the 78-year-old warrior survived his wounds and lived for nearly two more decades to the ripe old age of 96. 96 in the 1700s. The New London Journal, back at the time, reported on his death in 1793, and it said this of him. It said, quote, "He survived to see the complete overthrow of his enemies and his country enjoy all the blessings of peace and independence." What an epic story. Why have I not heard about him before? But what I do know is that even with his extreme story being so epic in its scale, what we saw there was one old guy who saw something still worth fighting for. He saw more than just his personal stake, too, in the events of the day. He saw something far greater, so great that he was willing to stand alone at great cost and give all that he had to fix the world that he lived in. He was born in 1696, and he fought in every war, every skirmish, every fight for the next 100 years to shape the beginnings of his country. What an amazing story. I hope that I can have a eulogy half as strong as his. But listen, the physical fight that Samuel Whittemore put up for the ability for us to see a nation free and prosperous is still ongoing. And it may not be a physical fight, but it is still a fight nonetheless, and it requires that Americans step into the fray. You see, folks, there is still a battle for our society. It's a battle of good against evil. It's a left against right. It's freedom versus slavery in the spiritual and the moral sense. The left does not want us to be united, but like my lovely Charlene always says, there's more of us than there are of them. In a recent writing by a pastor that I follow, he got very candid. He said this, and it's a long quote, but I'm going to read it to you. He said, quote, "We are in a winner-take-all spiritual war for the soul of America. The left certainly knows this and has pulled out all the stops. They no longer even attempt to masquerade their attempts at taking over. Winning by persuasion and numbers is no longer their plan. They intend to take over by force, laws, and intimidation. In their demented minds, parents no longer have the right to control the education of their children. Kindergartners are supposed to be indoctrinated regarding sexual preferences. The fruit of allowing humanistic ideals, he said, to control our nation is now in complete manifestation. Truth no longer matters. Lying to advance their agenda is perfectly acceptable. The average American, even those who do not profess to be Christians, shake their heads in wonder, asking, how did we get to this insane point? Look, I would add this. I would add that they will attempt to win, the left will, by dividing society into sections and then allowing some to intersect while putting the brakes on others. So what do we do about it? What can a right side ruffian do or say or commit to that will preserve who we are as a people? Not divided, but equally sharing in this great and wonderful liberty that the founders felt inspired to put in place for all generations, without questions of division. We must be prepared and committed and ready to stand. As surely as Samuel Whittemore took his stand by the stone wall, we have to do the same. And it may be a moral and a principled fight, but it is a fight nonetheless. General George Patton, he once told his men, you must acquire the warrior's soul. In another one of his quotes, a little bit longer, he said this very strongly. He said, there are three ways that men get what they want, by planning, by working, and by praying. Any great military operation takes careful planning or thinking, and then you must have well-trained troops to carry it all out. That's the working, said Patton. But between the plan and the operation, there's always an unknown. That unknown spells defeat or victory, success or failure. It's the reaction of the actors to the ordeal when it actually comes, and some people call that getting the breaks. Patton said, I call it God. God has his part or margin in everything, and that's where prayer comes in. Yeah, so here's the thing, y'all. What I'm seeing there is a trend. What I'm seeing there is a moment. Samuel Whittemore didn't just step out there and have a physical fight. It was the words that he used to rally the people that caused so much inspiration. We have to speak into our moments. We have to be willing to realize that words of encouragement and motivation and resistance, that those words are actually necessary. There has never been a time in the human race when the right words said at the right time by the right person didn't also generate the right results. Sure, I mean, there's a time for silence at times, a time for grieving quietly, but when the grieving is done and the mission still remains, that's when you got to ranger up. That's when you got to have those people around you who, if you're not able to find the words yourself, will also speak into your moment and move you back into action. Call it a kick in the pants. Call it a reason to exist. Call it a call to action. Call it whatever. Words matter. And I'm thankful for those who have timely added something to my days that got me out of my funk at times and back on my feet and leaning forward in my foxhole. Well, here at Right Side Media, we're committed to the idea that made this state and this nation great. We live in a nation whose very motto is the Latin phrase, Iudemus jura nostra defendere. That's a state, by the way. That's our state motto that says, we dare defend our rights. We are a state that is one part of a vast nation whose motto is also E Pluribus Unum, which means out of many come one. And every single day I get ready for this show, my goal is to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on the principles that make us a liberty-minded community. To give you that added bit of knowledge that you are not alone in the fight. That it's okay to say things like, Jesus is Lord and America's great and life's worth living. That's what I do. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do for you. This is a fight worth having. It absolutely is. It's a fight that we're in together. And yes, there are more of us than there are of them. So get in the fight. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.